This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Kevin Walsh. He's a director, Iron Mountain Government Services. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, you pick up the newspaper, you read stuff online, you hear about the federal government and keeping records. And just this morning, I was on my little computer and I saw a tweet that said the UK rushes through a law on data retention. My. Seems like the time to talk about data retention and records management for the federal government. So I knocked on some doors and I got this big guy by the name of Kevin Walsh to come down here and talk to us about Iron Mountain. I think anyone who's been in this business for 5 minutes has heard of Iron Mountain. They have a general idea of what they do, but I thought we'd maybe flesh it out and give some specifics here. And so my listeners can you know, if they're in a situation where they have to, maybe they're promoted or assigned a new job where they have to involve themselves with records management, maybe they can get an insight, maybe they can have a white paper or an e-book and just get a better idea of how to manage these records. And that's the whole idea behind having Kevin Walsh in the studio today. A lot of people are listening going, Kevin Walsh, sounds Irish. What's your background anyway, Kevin?
Thanks. I've lived in the D.C. area for 23, 24 years, attended college up in New England at the University of Maine, and I've been with Iron Mountain for 7 years. I've had a whole career in sales and sales management and kind of watched things evolve, and moving over to the federal space with Iron Mountain was a good example of you can't beat them, join them. You live here in the D.C. area and you're in that world, you might as well join something in the federal space because inevitably I'll end up there anyways.
Yeah. Interesting. I think I looked you up on LinkedIn and got a background in financial interests and serious stuff. I mean, you know, I like to be jovial and joke and tease and say, ha, 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 and this is silly. But, you know, there's a lot of serious stuff in the world of finance that you have to keep track of, and a lot of serious stuff that my listeners have to keep track of. And I don't want to be too glib, but I'll try to be glib and be conversational. But you know, this is a serious problem. And there are people who are listening to this that have legal obligations to retain records. And if they don't do what they have to do, they can get in some real serious trouble. And I think I want to have a lighthearted conversation, but I don't want to deny that this is serious. And if your agency is obligated to retain records for a certain number of years, I mean, that's your job. And there's a lot of serious people here in the government, and they want to do their job, and they want to do the best. And that's why we have you in here. So tell me about Iron Mountain. How long they've been around? What do they normally do?
So we're part of a group called Iron Mountain Government Services. So we're sort of the federal arm of Iron Mountain. Iron Mountain's a company that's been around since 1961. It's grown, especially over the last 30 years, through acquisitions and mergers as the industry has evolved and changed and kind of consolidated. And Iron Mountain has firmly planted itself kind of on the top of the food chain, as it were.
Top of the mountain?
Yeah, top of the mountain. And we've really evolved into a company that doesn't just store boxes, which is really how the company started. It started in the Cold War to store records for Wall Street firms up in caves underground in upstate New York. And then from there, it sort of, you know, it dovetailed into other industries and other pressing needs in that world. And we find ourselves now in the Fortune 1000, somewhere in the 720s. Last we checked, $3 billion revenues, almost 20,000 employees across the globe. We're recently became a REIT. So we're a real estate investment trust as a corporate structure. And the reason why that I find that interesting is because we're a huge landowner and a huge, we own 1,000 facilities worldwide, about 600 in North America. So it's a big company. The beauty of that is we're unique because of our footprint, and it gives us the strength and the kind of backing we need to kind of evolve as the industry evolves around us.
1,000 facilities, 36 countries involved in records management, data management, document management, secure shredding, a whole lot of stuff. I am old enough, much older than you, Kevin. I remember air raid sirens going off in classrooms and getting under desks because of threats of bombs. And people would say, we got to store stuff somewhere. And so they would go to abandoned iron mines and go, well, this is a pretty good place to store stuff. And I think that's the origin of the company. So we know pretty much what you do. What my listeners do is 135, 140 agencies, all with different needs for storing documents, some important, some not that important. And so what we're going to try to do today is maybe define what a permanent record is, what a temporary record is, how many of those a typical agency has, and what options they have for storing them. And in the research for this interview, I've there's a lot of independence here within these agencies for kind of, you know, kind of make your own plan, huh?
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest challenges. You referenced that article this morning about, I believe you said it was England putting a law in place in terms of data retention. I think people in our world, whether it's at the agency level or in the commercial world, would love to see more strict laws. Right now, there's a lot of mandates out there. There's a lot of guidance, but I don't think we've gone as far as we need to in terms of really strictly monitoring what happens in the world. It's an interesting time for us because, you know, we really are at a crossroads. And I think we lag behind the commercial sector in the best of breed, Fortune 1000, Fortune 500, Fortune 100, in terms of how they've kind of gotten to a point where their information is moving in the right direction. They have a clear roadmap and they know where they're going to go. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges that agencies face right now.
I talk about the cloud frequently. I had Mike Olson on here from Cloudera. We talked about Hadoop and managing big records. But let's face it, you know, regular commercial companies are being inundated with data, and so is the federal government. I mean, they're getting increased types of data coming in, amounts of data coming in. And oh, by the way, their budgets are being restricted. And oh, by the way, let's make sure we can comply with FOIA and comply with records retention's proposals that are coming in. And I think it's a major challenge. And what Iron Mountain has done is they've come up with a white paper here, and you can go to ironmountain.com, I-R-O-N, ironmountain.com/federal. I think that's where you get this white paper. It's called Meeting Directive Deadlines, a Clear Roadmap for Federal Information Asset Management. Well, that sounds like the answer to a prayer for some of my listeners.
Well, it is. And it's a fascinating time. And when I entered this 7 years ago, I really couldn't spell records management. And having lived it and breathed it for 7 years, I've watched us go from, you know, some antiquated ways of looking at things. And, you know, one of the challenges is I think a lot of the agencies, records management was both literally and proverbially in the basement. And what's happened is all of these directives, and this administration in particular, with open government being a cornerstone, has really shown that it's time. We have to move forward. We owe it to our citizens and taxpayers. We owe it to, you know, the rest of the world to have our stuff more in order. And all of these directives and guidelines are driving towards that. There's an appetite at the top of these agencies to, for the first time, to really not check the box and meet a directive, but really take this as an opportunity to modernize programs and to really get better at what is really an incredibly important piece of what they do as an agency.
7, 8 years ago when you started, let's draw an analogy here to maybe the information was a garden hose. Today, the amount of information is a fire hose. All this information, big data, sensors, mobile, there's so much more to worry about than 6 or 7 years ago. You have to come up with some policies. You have to come up with some ways to understand it. And let's face it, you know, the people of my generation may not understand some of the complexities that are involved. And I think this white paper gives a pretty good overview of options and challenges and talks about, and this is a pretty detailed one. Now, there's the light version of this that's at the Iron Mountain website. It's called Records and Information Managers for Dummies 2.0. And it's a little bit ebook, real nice and simple way to maybe this is the put your toe in the water with that little ebook, huh?
It is. This isn't rocket science, but at the end of the day, again, it's incredibly important. And one of the big challenges I think that agencies face is that so many of the people that handle records aren't full-time record managers. They have a shared duty. This is maybe 1/8 of what their daily job is, while it's becoming a bigger and bigger piece of the business. If we look at the statistics, in the next 2 years, there are some studies that show that we are going to double the amount of information that exists in the world today in the next 2 years. So when you look at it in that perspective, it's incredibly difficult. The other thing to remember is while it's daunting, the technologies that are available are getting better and better. And so if you can map the two and you can have a good foundation in place to utilize and leverage the tools that are out there, it's not a bad situation.
Kevin, let's take a break, come back, talk more about records management, record storage, and talk about a big deadline that's looming. The deadline is 2019, and that's going to affect all my listeners. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Kevin Walsh, Director, Iron Mountain Government Services. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Kevin Walsh. He's the Director, Iron Mountain Government Services. And we're talking about records and information programs and data retention. And, you know, I think what happens is that a lot of agencies have 32,000 things to do, and this is on a checklist, and they go, oh, Kevin over there, he's real good at maintaining the phones. We'll have him maintain the records. Yeah. And then Kevin sit there and go, I'm maintaining the phones, and, well, I don't know how I'll do this. And he comes up with a solution. The agency next door sees Sally over there and says, well, Sally's a good software developer. We'll have her manage the records. And then, you know, across town, they go, well, Rohan is good at managing the website. Well, and so we get 20 agencies and 20 solutions. It gets confusing, doesn't it, Kev?
You know, it does. And I think that was an easy answer 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago when things were more simple and agencies were still looking at policies where if they got an email, they had to print it. That was their policy, right? If they had an email that looked like a federal record, their direct, you know, was to print that and put it into a box, and that was the record. Well, those days are quickly going by. There are still
sounds
some
like
agents.
The Civil War. It sounds like the Civil War. So, yeah, wow.
John, it's still happening at a couple of agencies, which is a little bit shocking and appalling to I think most people. But it's the way things were always done. The key right now is that I think the appetite and the desire to improve is at a very high level. And it is for the first time kind of elevating the conversation to the proverbial roundtable where decisions are made and the IT world is, you know, really kind of taking a bigger look at what's going on with the records. And I know we're going to talk about it at some point, but there's an incredible importance right now. And we see it in agencies that are doing a good job in linking the IT department with the records world. And that's something that I think is really critical right now.
So let's say your name is Joe Smith and you're listening to this interview and there's snow on the ground and you're worrying about the Redskins and you're trying to figure it out. Maybe you have a new assignment or you have a new title and you're moving to a different area here. So one way to get information about it is a silly little ebook I talked about earlier, Records and Information Management for Dummies. Well, that's a little taste. But I think the next step might be the white paper. And this white paper we talked about earlier, it focuses on a federal information asset framework. So it gives you some guidelines and actually it's a very graphical way to see what's coming up between now and 2019. That would be the next step, I would think, huh, Kevin?
It is. The presidential directive on records management, it's been out now for coming up on 2 years. The memorandum was about 8 months prior to that. And the memorandum kind of was asking some questions of agencies to help OMB and the White House build this directive. The directive is very smart because it drives the necessary steps, and they're very tactical steps. And they start off with assessment. You got to kind of know what you have. And that seems like a simple thing. It's not. A lot of agencies wrestle with what do we have? What is our inventory? What types of records do we have? Are we meeting retention schedules? Are our retention schedules where they need to be? So this thing starts at that point. It evolves through, you know, the digitization of necessary records. It involves into, you know, making sure that we can access the data. You know, can we get into the analytics? Can we really look at what we need to? And then it gets into the cloud, and the cloud is an important part of this entire directive. 2019 is the deadline. There are a lot of kind of stopgaps or checkpoints along the way, and the problem it's a great. I really do like the way it's laid out. I think it's smart. I think it's well done. The problem is, like many things in the federal space, it's an unfunded mandate, and the biggest challenge I think we're going to have is to get agencies to get really the top levels to buy in. And if we can get that and get IT and information management bridged, then you're going to see some serious impact in terms of meeting these measures.
So 2 years ago, 2012, the Nationals were having a winning season, and President Obama comes up with the Presidential Records Management Directive. And essentially what it says is that, hey, we got to get rid of paper records, we'll make this transition, and we're going to give you all the way to 2019 to accomplish this. And when I read that, I've been in a lot of different organizations and seen some things and worked inside the country, outside the country, and I'm saying, well, this is like trying to eat one of those 2-pound steaks, and you don't have to pay for it. I mean, this is a whole lot to ask agencies to do. This is a kind of a drastic change, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, if you look at the history of records in the federal space, the interesting thing about this whole directive is the Obama administration. This is the first time since Truman that a sitting U.S. president has uttered the words records management on the record. The Truman administration is when the Federal Records Act was put into effect. So there's some decades in between, right?
Yeah.
The fact that Obama did this, it's probably 15, 20 years too late, but it's not too late in terms of turning up the attention, getting the right people at the agencies involved. Part of the directive, and I think this is one of the most key elements, is that a SAO, a senior agency official, was assigned to oversee this. And when NARA and the White House and OMB look back, they're going to look to that SAO who's got to be an SES. It's got to be, you know, a C-level kind of person in the agencies. That alone gives this a little bit more punch, and I think it's critical to the success of this whole directive.
And so one key to succeeding is getting what I would call buy-in from a stakeholder, or get a top-level person to really understand the value of keeping these records. Is that a good step?
It is. And again, assigning the SAO is one step towards that. I think the other piece here, and this is what we're seeing on the front lines, is there is a genuine excitement. I'll give you an example. Recently, we were invited into the Pentagon to speak to some high-level folks with the Marine Corps. And these were IT-heavy folks. Records do not roll to IT in the DoD space. But these gentlemen asked us to come in and speak to them because they recognize that in order for them to meet their initiatives regarding cloud and regarding really kind of their transformation of their IT programs, this area around records and information, it could absolutely hold them back. So that they have to start looking at this from their perspective and say, unless we improve, unless we get better, we're never going to be able to do the things that are high on our list of key initiatives. And I think those things together, and it's time. At the end of the day, John, it's time that the agencies just get better at this. There's too much frustration. The gap between commercial and federal was really starting to get out of hand. And we're also seeing agencies kind of take a look and say, okay, what is the best of the best? We're willing to look at case studies now for some of the biggest banking institutions or insurance or manufacturing or whatever it is. And that's a new thing in the federal space.
Now, during the break, we were talking about maybe agencies partnering with organizations where they have existing relationships or existing software, and I think SharePoint is one. I mean, if you're an agency now and you happen to have a SharePoint system there, I mean, maybe you should use more than 3% of what SharePoint can handle. Maybe you should take and read this white paper and call up Iron Mountain and go, well, hey, I heard this thing in the radio, and maybe I can use what's already sitting in my garage instead of going out to the Home Depot and buying another tool. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And that's, I think, where Iron Mountain has positioned ourselves, is we can't do everything. We can't solve all the problems that agencies have. We do very well in the areas that we cover. It takes quite a few folks and quite a few partners to work together to get agencies from the beginning of the directive to 2019. We've built something called the Federal Information Asset Framework, which gives us a kind of a roadmap. It allows agencies to kind of look at their problem, excuse me, and kind of map from that point to 2019. And it does take multiple vendors to help agencies move forward. But in terms of software and technology, the federal space has always been quick to, well, we've got a problem with space, we got a problem with that. Well, we'll just throw another rack up. You know, we'll just do this. We'll add more to our data center. The same thing goes with the technology and the software. I've walked into agencies and they have too much software. They have three or four different systems that literally
underused.
They're underused, and they could do exactly what they're looking for, but because sometimes it's just easier to buy the next thing, they sometimes do that.
We have to take a break. When we come back, talk more about records management and complying with a mandate where by December 31st, 2019, the entire federal government will be paperless and have documents all available online, which seems like quite a target to shoot for. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Kevin Walsh, Director, Iron Mountain Government Services.
Hi, this is David Gregory. Join me Sundays at 8 p.m. for Meet the Press right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. That's right, the same great show you watch Sunday mornings on NBC, you can also hear on the radio. For more than 60 years, Meet the Press has featured headline-making interviews with world leaders and U.S. newsmakers, including every president since John F. Kennedy. Tune in each week to hear analysis, discussion, and review the week's political events from noted journalists and experts. Sunday nights at 8, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This morning we have in the studio a gentleman by the name of Kevin Walsh. He's the director of Iron Mountain Government Services. And we're talking about a big old mandate that's looming in 2019. There is a presidential initiative that every agency makes a transition to paperless records by 2019. Whether you agree or disagree is really not the issue. I think it'd be like me making an NFL as a linebacker, but I guess it's possible. I think it's a tough goal to have. But we're not going to talk about the goal. We're going to talk about tools that you can use to achieve the goal. And one tool that my listeners use are blogs. They read blogs, and they try to come up with help from there. Is there any blog that you read that may help my listeners with understanding this?
So, you know, it's the whole world of social media, I've grown personally just because of I have a couple of teenage daughters, and they drive you towards doing more in the social media. We have done some blogging as a company. The problem is consistency. What I find is that if I follow certain blogs, if they don't post in a regular kind of rotation and kind of keep things consistent, I tend to fall off of those. Iron Mountain to this point has been kind of leaning more towards the Twitter side. I know there's an element that uses Facebook as well. I'm more of a Twitter user personally, and I've had some success working with Twitter. I like the kind of condensed, shortened version of what that drives. There's quite a few blogs I follow, and I'm finding more and more. We're lucky to have some folks in our team in the federal group who kind of monitor some things and then distribute them out. And I've seen our team, the folks that are on the front lines dealing with agencies every day, become more and more educated and aware of what's happening. And so much of that now is coming through social media. So I there's not one that I would pinpoint, John, but I will tell you that this whole world is evolving so fast. And it's great to hear the points of actual people doing the jobs, as opposed to the marketing arm or the community relations arm of an agency's. We're actually able to hear the candor of folks that are addressing these challenges personally, and that's where we're really getting better and learning more.
My blog is called the Tech Tuesday Blog, awful easy to find. I blog about everything under the sun. I'll be blogging about this, and that's for sure. I think this is a problem that's looming, and it's down the road. It's coming. I think everyone who's listening to this is going to have to address this issue sooner or later. This morning, I was reading your white paper on meeting directive deadlines, a clear map for federal information asset management. I came up with some fun figures, and one of the fun figures I came up with was that 62% of agencies have in-house systems. And so you have, you know, all kinds of different ways to accomplish some of this, you know, information retention. Now, here's another fun fact I got from this report was that $34 million per agency is spent every year, and that's going to go up to $84 million by 2015, maybe to assist in accomplishing these goals. But you got all these different pieces of information out there. You got different ways to it. Maybe this white paper is a starting point for my listeners, huh?
It is. I think the numbers, it's important to keep in mind that the numbers you kind of referenced, the 34 million evolving up to the 84 million or whatever that number is now, I forget. That's around the physical records. The one of the biggest challenges that's happening in the explosion, the huge explosion, is coming on the digital side. So you've got a much bigger problem than the $34 million. $34 million is the average that agencies are spending on physical records at this point.
Going to need a bigger boat.
They're going to need a bigger boat. But again, the technologies are evolving. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to sound the alarm and make it sound like this is a problem that can't be fixed. Technologies are evolving with the proliferation of the information. That being said, and I've spoken on this a couple of times, what I see is, again, 62% have in-house programs. There's still a desire by some agencies to kind of home grow their own systems. I've seen it be fine. The problem is the adaptability and the proliferation is very hard to scale, right? So some of the systems that are out there on the ECM, the electronic content management systems that are out there, they're built to scale and they're built to grow with the agencies. And what we find is that the agencies often have some of these in-house and not even know it, or certainly don't leverage it because it was bought for some other use. That's a key element of all of this.
I think a conclusion that we may draw from this interview is that my listeners are challenged with an unfunded mandate, but they may have the tools sitting in their garage somewhere that they can use. And one possible way to understand how they can use ECM tools they have sitting out there, whether it's SharePoint or open source or what it happens to be, would be to take a look at this Federal Information Asset Framework and get a leg up and figure out where to start.
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy. And to take that analogy one step further, I think people have things in their garage and forget them or don't realize.
Not me.
All of us. Trust me, all of us. An analogy I use is when you start off on this process or this journey, it's important to clean out that garage. And it's an awful task. Nobody wants to do it.
You
start dread it for
assessment.
Weeks ahead.
You talk about assessment.
You
yeah.
just don't want to do it. But you do it. And then all of a sudden, it's a lot easier to keep it organized. It's a lot easier to you know what? If I build 3 shelves here, I'm going to be in a lot better place. And then from there, it becomes the only way that you can actually build, it's a foundation. And that's what we find with records programs, that unless kind of people get their house in order, the fanciest tools in the world aren't going to be able to be used if they're buried underneath a pile of stuff. And that's what the garage analogy kind of says to me.
A little simple question here. So what is a temporary record? What is a permanent record? And what's the differentiation there for my
That is it's an interesting question. It's a fun question because if you asked federal folks, what is a permanent record? What is a record? Let's take it one step farther. What's a record? A lot of people cannot make the definition. A permanent record is a record that is, and I don't have the definition in front of me, forgive me, and I live this world, but a permanent record is essentially something that is absolutely essential for the agency. It could be a vital record that has to do with the operation of the agency, the structure of the agency, the history of the agency, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have done studies, and NARA has done their own studies, that somewhere around 5% of all records in the federal space are permanent. All the rest are temporary records, and those can include things like HR files and accounts payable and the things that involve the day-to-day operating of an agency. And temporary records, to me, is one of the biggest challenges. Permanent records should be the easy part. NARA is perfectly set up, and that's what they do. The temporary records is where I think that the problems become, because that's the vast majority that's out there, and those are ones that have, you know, a finite retention period. So they're going to be able to be destroyed at some point. And that is where agencies are choking, both on the electronic side and on the physical side.
Now, looking at you, Kevin, I'll bet when you were in third grade, the teacher turned to you and said, Mr. Walsh, this is going to go on your permanent record.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what the permanent record is. Some people in grade school, they threaten you with that, huh?
Absolutely. And if you look agency to agency, by the nature of what they do, there are different levels of permanent record retentions and things like that. I mean, if you look at an agency like the Department of Energy that has a lot of research, they are the research arm of the United States. Their retention periods and schedules are vastly different than somebody who's more in the day-to-day, such as a treasury organization, where they, you know, they're handling the nation's purse, right? And they've got to manage through that. But then other than things that are around the structure of it, those all tend to be a little bit more on the temporary side.
So there's no real written standards. There's no NIST for standards. NARA doesn't act like NIST then, huh?
They do. And it's agency to agency. And I think NARA does a very good job, and they're getting better at helping agencies manage through their schedules. Now, that that's a broad statement. You know, agencies are still dying and trying to organize their schedules. We've been in agencies that have literally 5,000 schedules.
We got to keep the schedule here. We got to take a break and come back, talk more about records management. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Kevin Walsh, Director, Iron Mountain Government Services.
Federal News Radio's DoD Wednesday. At 3 on Wednesdays, DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. At 4, in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a smart discussion on the issues and challenges of the defense community. Plus daily DoD updates, mornings and afternoons at 37 past the hour. DoD Wednesday on 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Kevin Walsh. He's the director, Iron Mountain Government Services. We're talking about a big deadline that's looming in 2019, the transition to electronic records and going paperless. And we tried to give you some suggestions on how to figure it out. And during the break, we're talking about navigators and navigation and compasses and everything else. And it dawned on me, this white paper, this federal information asset framework would be like a good navigator for my listeners. They could just start there. It's like head north, huh?
It really is. And that's where the reception we've gotten has been fantastic. Keep in mind, we cover a couple of elements of the 7 or 8 steps that are necessary in this journey. And, you know, the rest we do rely on partners, but we're agnostic. And if an agency has a great relationship with Integrator X, great. We'll leverage their ECM tool. If they have a great relationship with a small business that they've done business with years and they've had some, you know, some great past successes, that's great. They can help along the way as well.
So they can use a Prius or a truck or a bus, but yeah, you can provide the navigation. That's not a bad way to think about
this. It's been very refreshing, and I think agencies have received that very well. But the key on it, I think, is it does take them from the beginning, you know, doing that assessment, taking a look. Let's find out what we have in the garage, helping them clean out that garage, and then helping them kind of modernize what they have, whether that's through imaging and the ECM functions, into the final evolution into the cloud.
I start off with a tweet talking about the UK and data retention, and I want to ask about Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray. Do you have a Twitter handle? Are you folks active on Twitter?
I do. I don't tweet much, I'll be honest. I use Twitter more on the incoming aspect, although I have tweeted some things for business and being around you for today and then leading up to this, it's certainly becoming, I think, higher on my list of priorities. But I'm at Kevin Walsh, and the company we are at twitter.com and then /Iron Mountain, and we do publish a lot of information and a lot of being the biggest in the industry almost comes with it a sense of responsibility that we have in terms of representing our constituents, representing our customers, and kind of presenting information and educating them. I think one of the biggest jobs that I have in my role is to evangelize and to help train and help educate folks, because it's a big world, and the information management world is huge, and it's tough to get your arms around.
Well, Kevin, you may be an evangelist, but we're going to find out if you're a nerd. And I've devised a 10-question scientific test that many of my listeners are scratching their heads going, this guy Kevin, I wonder if he's really a nerd or not, or a wannabe nerd. So I've come up with a scientific 10-question test, and I'm going to give it to you right now. My first question is, go to your house this afternoon and look around for desktops. How many old-fashioned desktops do I have sitting around your house?
One desktop, three laptops.
Okay. And how many cell phones have you purchased in the last year?
Myself?
Yourself,
for my daughters.
No, you. You personally. How many have you
purchased? I have purchased one.
Okay, well, that's not bad.
And it was just recently.
And what do you use for online personal backup?
I don't. I use devices. I use on-site devices, and they're so cheap now. You can buy a couple of terabytes for relatively little, and I follow my father-in-law's lead.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have a Apple iPhone 5S.
And in the last month, what app have you used the most, or what do you app use constantly on that one?
Well, being that I coach softball in my spare time, I think I've looked at weather.com more often.
Weather.com.
That's a go-to for me. I'm pretty boring now. ESPN's probably up there. I'm a big sports guy.
Now, you're a big guy. I'd be reluctant to break into your house, but I'm going to break into your house this afternoon anyway. How many tablet devices will I see floating around there?
I have three daughters and a wife, and each one of us, including myself, has a tablet. I did get a new, I had the first, literally I had one of the first iPads, and I've had it until Father's Day this year. So technically we have six in our house.
Wow. Well, now you get some nerd points for that, that's for sure. What social, what social networking sites are you active in?
I do not like Facebook. My wife goes on Facebook. She never posts, but we like to see it in terms of keep up with some family and things like that. I am big on LinkedIn. I'm using it more and more these days in terms of professional. I am a hiring manager, so I do look at it for recruiting and things like that. And then I do love Twitter. I pretty much every night I look at Twitter for, you know, I follow a few people, some in the sports world, some in the news world, and some local things. I'm finding very good uses with Twitter as well as business.
How many LinkedIn groups are you a member of?
Probably five at this point.
Great. And finally, the last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
I go back and forth between paper and electronic. My last one I read was electronic on my iPad.
Wow, that was a lucky answer, huh?
Well, no, I'm a big reader, so I try to offset fiction and nonfiction. And a lot of the nonfiction I read on my tablet. But I just read The Closer by Mariano Rivera. I'm a big Yankees fan.
Well, that's great. Well, we're not going to kick you out of the studio for being
a Yankees fan.
I
was worried about some of that.
Now, we may kick you out for being a nerd. I will take and run this through my little computer in the basement and find out if you're a card-carrying nerd. Kind of interesting. A lot of tablets in that house. I used to ask, do you have a tablet? Now it's how many?
Yeah.
And now it's going to be, I don't know what's next, Google Glass, or is it going to be one of these watches or smartwatches?
Mine is just self-preservation. If they don't have a tablet, what am I going to do with them?
Yeah. This is a sports studio. They do a lot of sports out of here, hockey and basketball, and they always do predictions for Super Bowls and all kinds of stuff here. And I'm going to ask you some predictions here and talk about this big long-term goal. December 31st, 2019. Is that a reasonable goal? Are my listeners going to be able to accomplish it? Is this going to be pushed back? Do you think they're going to figure out what to do, use existing stuff? I mean, what do you think is going to happen in this whole area of data retention and records management?
You know, it's a great question. And I think 2 years ago when this first came out, it was July or August, I believe, of that summer. I think we were excited about it. And we were genuinely looking forward to the results. And I think initially, it's unfunded, which is a challenge. But I think we looked at it and said, oh, this is impossible. But I got to tell you, the last 2 years, I have seen a very, very big increase in momentum for the agencies. They're serious about it. And I think outside of the directive itself and checking the box and meeting those deadlines, I see agencies legitimately, maybe excited is too much of a word, but I think they're really feeling good about getting better and modernizing their programs. Do I think that 2019 is a reasonable date? Oh, I don't know. I mean, does it really matter? As long as we get better, I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a major improvement, and I'm seeing that already. So I'm optimistic that we're going to see some huge results by then.
It's always interesting that, you know, I have my records floating around the house, everything that, but every time April 15 rolls around, somehow I manage to put together the files and my business expenses and the mortgage payments, and we do our taxes on time. And it's a deadline that forces you to if I didn't, I don't know, it'd be every room of the house to have some paper in it or something. But deadlines kind of focus your brain, doesn't it?
Sure, just like a final in college, right? Huh. You know, you're going to pull that all-nighter if you have to. I'd like to see a little bit more teeth in this directive. I would like to see some more punch to it in terms of not meeting these deadlines. But I do think that the SAO involvement is key. And as long as they don't let their guard down in terms of those that are monitoring this, whether it be NAR or the White House, I do think you're going to see a lot of attention paid towards these deadlines. And they're big. They're big, hairy, ugly deadlines that are going to take a lot of work. But I'm seeing the work being done now.
What about open data? Where does this fit in?
Well, there's a bunch of different drivers that are all kind of interrelated. You know, again, the cornerstone of this particular administration is the open government piece, right? And that's something that Obama really talked about from day one. And if you look at things like, you know, the directive or the other drivers that are out there, freeze the footprint is a big one. That's more around cost savings. All of these kind of come back together. And they really are driving the behaviors. You mentioned the open data policy. Really, what's that doing is putting pressure on the agencies to not just address their permanent records in electronic formats, but also migration to that digital sooner rather than later. and kind of keeping to meet the policy. So if you look, those are very related. And then you get into the cost savings pieces, the freeze the footprint, and some of the others that are out there. They're all related. They got to do more with less.
Machine readable code all fits into this picture.
Absolutely, they have to do more with less.
And so, well, I think the lesson learned here is that a navigator is probably going to be Iron Mountain to help you figure out this solution and take advantage of what you have sitting on your shelf already. And maybe combining both of those two would offer my listeners insight on how to achieve this mandate.
That's key. And I think one of the big things that I'm most proud of being associated with Iron Mountain is that we do business right now with north of 950 of the Fortune 1000 right now today. Those people turn to us because of our expertise. We're not trying to solve every problem in the federal space. We can't do all things for all people, but what we can do is help them get better.
That's what we're trying to do in this show, help my listeners get better. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Kevin Walsh, Director of Iron Mountain Government Services. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu is on Twitter. Follow him at jserbuwfed for the latest news about the Defense Department and defense contracting at jserbuwfed.